The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, beginning with the first verse. Dear friends in Christ, everybody hates the tax man. If you came up with a list of the top 10 most hated professions, there's going to be a certain number of professions that's going to show up on most people's lists. Used car salesman, dentist, lawyer, politician, and most likely, on almost everyone's list, the IRS agent. Now, why do so many people hate an IRS agent? For some, it's because we think that we pay too many taxes or we don't like how the government is spending our taxes, but really the individual agent has nothing to do with that. Really, most people hate an IRS agent because no one has had a pleasant encounter with an IRS agent. He doesn't knock on your door simply to say hi. He doesn't write you a letter to thank you for paying your taxes on time. No, he's going to come to investigate, to start an audit. You might have to go to court and they might be forced to pay more taxes or even spend some time in jail. No one likes the IRS agent. And if you think people hate the tax man today, you should have seen what it was like in Jesus' day. You see, tax collectors in Jesus' days were considered traitors. In Israel, there were Jews hired by the Roman government to collect taxes for the Roman government from the Jewish people. They were required to collect a certain amount from each individual. But they also had the power to demand as much money as they deemed necessary, as they deemed fit, as they can get away with. It was a system that was ripe for corruption. They often shook down other members of their own country. They extorted money from their own flesh and blood, and they then were allowed to keep and pocket the rest. Many tax collectors became rich because they stole from their own people. So tax collectors, they were considered the scum of society. Corrupt politicians, you can say. They were considered as lies, as cheats, as criminals. They're outcasts. Their own country wanted nothing to do with them. No one would associate with them. And they weren't even allowed to go into the temple like the other Jews were in order to worship the Lord. They were rejected by society and they were rejected by religion. And Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector, the head tax collector in this whole entire region. The leader of the corruption, the head honcho. He oversaw all of it. Now, pretty much every tax collector became rich on the backs of other people. Zacchaeus, he became filthy rich. And he only had himself to blame. He chose money and power over relationships with other people, over obedience to God and his word. Zacchaeus, it seems, he had it all. Now, he was rich, he was powerful, but no one liked him. He was an outcast. Many people hated him. No one would associate with him. And perhaps, maybe you felt like Zacchaeus before. Not so much with the wealth and the power, but in the way people looked at Zacchaeus. Maybe people look down upon you. Maybe people don't want to associate with you. Maybe you don't have any friends or very few friends. Very few people who can see things your way, who understand you. Maybe you don't have too many people that you can lean on, that you can talk to, that you can cry with or share good times with. Maybe society looks at you as an outcast. as someone they don't want to associate with. Perhaps it's because of your political views, that your peers, that maybe at work or your friends, simply just don't understand your viewpoint and can't see where you come from, and so they tend to reject you, especially in our highly politicized environment today. Or maybe it's because of your religious views. They're offended at what you believe about homosexuality. Or your friends mock you and ridicule you for spending time here on Sunday morning. Or that you could believe that someone could do all those miracles, or that someone rose from the dead. Maybe it's your family. Or your peers who just simply can't understand how you could reject science and evolution in favor of what God says about He creating the world in 6 days. So they tend to disassociate with you. Or maybe it's because of your own doing. Maybe no one wants to be around you because of something you did or didn't do. Maybe you said something that you immediately regretted, or you made a bad choice. You betrayed someone, you let someone down, you stabbed someone in the back, you talked about them behind their back, or said something to them. You're repentant. But now you have to face the consequences for your sin, and no one wants to be around you, no one wants to associate with you, maybe because of some horrible thing you did in public and they're embarrassed to be with you, or something you personally did to hurt or harm somebody. It may seem then that you are all alone, that you don't belong, that you're an outcast. No one's with you. And then we might be tempted to think, is it ever going to get better? Will I always be hated? Are people ever going to like me? Are people ever going to accept me for who I am? Will someone ever forgive me for the wrongs that I have done to him? Can God ever forgive me for all the pain and sorrow that I have brought upon other people? That's Zacchaeus. That's us. Zacchaeus knew that Jesus was coming. And a large crowd was following Jesus. As he was entering into the city, he gave sight to a man who was born blind. No, the crowd was in a frenzy. Everyone was following Jesus. The whole city of Jericho came out to see Jesus, and Zacchaeus was among them. He wanted to see who this Jesus, this prophet from Nazareth, was all about. But he was a short man, and he couldn't see, so he climbed a tree so that he could get a better look at Jesus. And to his amazement, as Jesus was walking by, he suddenly stopped, looked up in the tree, and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to stay at your house today." We read that Zacchaeus gladly welcomed Jesus. You can imagine how ecstatic he was. Out of all the people in the entire city, Jesus chose Zacchaeus. And he was going to stay at his house. Now, we are never told what Jesus and Zacchaeus talked about in his house. But we can rightfully assume that Jesus shared God's word with him, that he shared with him the law and the gospel, a message of sin and grace, because that's what Jesus always talked about. That's the reason why Jesus came, was to share the gospel with Zacchaeus. As Jesus would later say, he came to seek and save what was lost. That's what he did with Zacchaeus. He sought out Zacchaeus, not so that he could have a place to stay for the night. He sought him so he could share the gospel with him. He sought his soul so that he can show him his Savior from sin. And as it often does, the gospel worked. The Holy Spirit worked faith into Zacchaeus' heart. He gave a good confession of faith and words of repentance. And then Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. Today. That very day, Zacchaeus had salvation. Now, what is salvation? Salvation is God's act of saving us. It is Christ taking our sins upon himself. It is Christ giving us his perfect life. It is Christ promising us the sure hope of eternal life by his resurrection from the dead. That's what Zacchaeus said. Salvation belonged to Zacchaeus. That very day, he was forgiven and eternal life was given to him. Jesus went on to say, this man too is a son of Abraham. Remember that Zacchaeus was rejected by society, rejected by his own people. They didn't consider him a child of Abraham. He wasn't even allowed to go into the temple to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus points out that this man too is a child of Abraham. Not just physically, that's not Jesus' focus, but more importantly, spiritually. A spiritual descendant of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. He belonged to God. And through that faith, he would then come and enjoy the eternal life that Christ had given him. Salvation had come to him and his house. Zacchaeus is a perfect example of what Jesus meant when he said that he came to seek and save what was lost. But who were the lost? Now the Pharisee inside of us might think to ourselves, well, people like Zacchaeus are the lost, the tax collectors, or other people like prostitutes or drug dealers or politicians or lawyers or murderers or thieves or rapists. And that is right. They are the lost. But so are we. We, all of us, are the lost. By nature, we were born into sin, born as enemies of God who were hostile to God. We didn't know God. We didn't know what his son had done to save us. We didn't believe in him, and all we could do was sin. We were lost and condemned creatures. Sinners who didn't care about Christ. Living in the darkness of unbelief. And to tell you the truth, as Christians, we know that. We know that we're the lost. We've been told that time and time again. Oh, but there's that little bit deep down inside of us, that sinful nature that dwells inside of us that tells us, you know what, you're not really the lost. You're not like those other people. You're better than they are. That self-righteous attitude that says, man, you're so much better than those tax collectors or prostitutes or drug dealers. But it's okay to admit that you are part of the lost. Or that you were the lost. Because that's whom Christ came to seek and to save. As he did Zacchaeus, Christ seeks us. Not so that he can stay at our house tonight. But he can save our soul. Remember that we're spiritually lost by nature. It is only through the gospel that we can be brought to faith. And so he seeks us with that gospel. He has brought people into our lives. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's your parents or other family members or a friend or a neighbor or an acquaintance at work. Someone who shared the gospel with you or who's currently sharing the gospel with you. Someone to show love for you, to provide for you, to care for you. And through that gospel, he brought you to faith. Maybe when your parents brought you to be baptized. Maybe when someone shared the gospel with you, you are brought to faith, and through that same gospel, you are kept in the one true faith. He brought you out of the darkness of unbelief and into the light of salvation. He sought us, and he saved us. Through the faith worked in your heart through that gospel, you receive all the blessings Christ has won for you. That is why Christ came. To seek and save you. To seek and save all of us. And it was only about a week after he met Zacchaeus that Jesus would make good on his promise. About a week after Jesus talked to Zacchaeus was Good Friday. Jesus knew it would take place in Jerusalem. So after he left Zacchaeus, he made that 25-mile trek from Jericho to Jerusalem to be there to enter into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey. Jesus, the Son of Man, brought salvation into the entire world by dying on the cross. That's what he came to do, to save us from eternal damnation and give us that gift of eternal life by taking our sins upon himself, by suffering our eternal consequences for that sin. Not once did Jesus treat someone unfairly. Not once did Jesus extort money from someone. He lived a perfect life so that he can give us that perfect life, so that we could be righteous and holy in the eyes of God. He brought us lost sinners into his family. Now, we are children of God, co-heirs with God, co-heirs with Christ, and heirs of God who inherit his gift of salvation. He made us his own through the waters of baptism, ripping us from the clutches of Satan and bringing us into his family. People may not like us. People may hate us. We may be the outcast of society, but really none of that matters. Maybe our friends and family don't want us. But God does. He chose us. He sought us. He shared the gospel with us. He brought us to faith and welcomed us into his family. Children of Abraham, not his physical descendants, but his spiritual descendants through faith in Christ. And he binds us all together in unity under Christ. That's what we have here at Holy Cross. That's what we have as members of the Holy Christian Church, a body of believers, a close-knit family, brothers and sisters in Christ who love each other, who forgive each other, who care for each other. All of us are part of Christ's spiritual family, whom he has brought together through the gospel and keeps us together through that same gospel. And that is how gracious and how loving our Savior is. And when we understand how loving our Savior is, we understand that how gracious he is and that we don't deserve any of it. That he adopted us as his own. That he sought us and saved us. That all those things that we have done to alienate our friends and our family, all those things we have done that make people not want to be with us, Christ has forgiven us fully and freely and accepts us as his dear children. When we realize that all these blessings God has given us, then we are filled with overwhelming gratitude. And overwhelming gratitude leads to overwhelming generosity. Look how Zacchaeus reacted to Christ's love. He decided that he was going to give half of his possessions to the poor, and whatever he had extorted people of, he was going to give back four times the amount. Jesus didn't push Zacchaeus to do this. He wasn't prompted by Jesus. This was something that flowed freely from Zacchaeus' heart as he was moved by God's grace. The secret to overwhelming gratitude, the secret to the joy that Zacchaeus found is opening your eyes and recognizing all the amazing blessings Christ has done for you. Sure, there are the physical blessings, but more importantly, the spiritual blessings, the full and free forgiveness, the eternal life with him forever. the faith, the gospel that has brought you to faith, the faith that receives all these things, a body of believers who cares for us and provides for us. All those possessions and more, none of which we earn, none of which we certainly deserve, all of which God graciously gives to us. So we respond as Zacchaeus responded, with overwhelming generosity, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but freely, willingly, cheerfully, from the heart. We can be overwhelmingly generous with our family and friends, overwhelmingly generous at church, overwhelmingly generous to people we've never even met. No one likes the tax man, and it may be that many people hate us, but Christ loved us. He gave us all that we have. He saves us. He welcomes us as His dear children. He was so generous to us, so let us be generous in return. Give as God has given you. For He has given you everything. And He has given you what is priceless. Himself. For our salvation. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.